Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.
Something we started this year, Marius, are you ready? Okay, something we started this year. I went to our leadership team last year and I said, if you have faith, then you need to preach. And who's going to preach? And some guys put up their hands for this year. And so I believe this is Morris's first time ever preaching. All right? And God speaks through the body and He speaks through us. And so, Marius, it is such a privilege to welcome you. And yeah, what's on your heart? God speaking through you. Can we give Him a massive hand? Bless you, Marius.
Thank you, guys. You can be seated. Unless you understand. I will understand that. Most of you will know me. I'm usually a guy with shorts and pluckies. Today I'm in my jeans. So, can everybody hear me? That's usually okay, perfect. Let's start off by consecrating our meeting. Lord, we come to you. Jesus, we give everyone and everything to you. We place under your kingdom. Come, Holy Spirit, come minister in your will, in our minds, what you want to lay down. And Lord, come and restore union with you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, let's get going. I have a question. Do we live life in abundance? And do we really know what it means? So for me, what I'm going to start with is, how do we guard our hearts, guarding our hearts, and recovering our Eden? So, let's go. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all vengeance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flows the spirit of life. So, if I ask the question, do we live out of that? And then the question, do we live abundant life? I'm going to go to John now. John 9, verse 10. I'm going to go through a few pages, a few verses that's actually standing out for me in my life as I've went through stuff. It's John 10, verse 9. I am the door, and anyone who enters in through me will be saved, will live. He will come in and he will go out freely and will find pasture. The thief comes only that he may steal and may kill and may destroy. I come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. If there's any words that not in your Bible, I'm reading out of the Amplified. So there's a few descriptive words that actually just fills up the whole word. So the Lord brought me a picture of, showed me in a picture a feast table with all nourishment food on it. But I was ignoring to go in, and it reminded me of the passage in Psalm 24, where he says, I put a feast in front of you, in front of your enemies. But I see myself in the line of the enemies, not at the table. So that is where my confusion, where that is not living out of abundance. That is not me being nourished and fed. So what the Lord told me is, we partner with fear and anxiety And that places us in the sight of the enemy and not in his throne room. Our enemy, if we must define him, is not flesh and blood. In Revelation 12, he explains who the enemy is, what he is, how he's been thrown out of heaven. I will give you that passage as well. Revelation 12, 9 to 12. There's a whole description of what he done, how he's been thrown out of heaven, and the angels fought against him, and there were no space for him left, and he hurtled down to earth. But in through Jesus Christ, the resurrection of his, in his blood, we have overcome with the angels, the enemy that is in front of us. So for that, to describe how to live in this almost, we live in a world, but world of love, because God has given us love. But now we are in a world of war. It's not a physical war, it's a spiritual war. So in that spiritual space, we need to, not need to fight, because a fight has already been won. We are the victors of that. So, I want to explain that those two worlds to us in a way, in a clear picture of understanding how to live in two worlds. And I'm going to explain it by means of living as amphibians. Yes, living as a frog. Yes, so a frog lives in two worlds. He exists in both a physical landscape world, but he also exists and lives in water. If he lives too long in the water, he's going to die. If he lives too long on the land, the sun is going to scorch him. He's going to dry out. So he needs both worlds to survive. If I can explain the physical world as our world that we live in, our feet are on the ground, we face enemies, we face fear that comes against us, and anxiety, all those stuff coming against us. If we're not cooled down by the water, we will be dried out. So the water I will go to as our spiritual life, the life that God has given us, how he led us to be. The frog lays his eggs in water. He trains his children in water. He uses the plants in the water to protect them until they're ready to face the outside world. So there's progression in that as well. And the Holy Spirit will lead you where you are in that space and in that time. But live more in the water, live more in the Spirit than outside of it. Okay. Luke 10:17-20. And this is coming to the, this is speaking about the, how do we actually do warfare? This is where we come in and say, okay, I'm not going to sit at the enemy side. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to feast with the Lord on his table. The seven, I'm reading now, the seven returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to you, to us in your name. And he has said to them, I saw Satan falling like lightning flash from heaven. Behold, I have given you the authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. If you go there, if you read that in conjunction with Psalm 91, then we really understand how the Lord is protecting us, how his angels, and how he is with us in every way. We don't need to see ourselves in the enemy's side. He doesn't see us there. So from that, There's another picture that God showed me. I was busy in the garden mowing the lawn, and I saw weeds in my grass, and I've overcome them a few weeks back, but they are back. I need to wear pluckies because the thorns are making me sore, man. So then I realized, and the Lord showed me this picture. Lots of times we see ourselves with all the hurt that we've put on and things that we've bargained with. We just take a lawnmower, shave it off, nobody sees it, I'm okay. I'm good. I can carry on. But the gardener doesn't want that. He wants to root the weed to be unrooted and pulled out and burned in a fire. But it's sore. The ground needs to be opened up and pulled out. Sometimes that's deep. I need to dig deep for that knuts off a root. But then the gardener says, I didn't say you have to do it alone. Jesus did not say, you're going through it alone. He was there. He knew. He knows how it feels. And it takes forgiveness to unroot that hurt in our lives. Without that, that hurt's still going to be there. It's still going to show. It's still going to come up every time Jesus cut it off. It's going to come up again. Unless we ask the Lord, Jesus, to come, and in the place of that weed, he comes and gardens it and plants a life-giving tree. Vegetables, fruits, life-giving nourishment substance in that. And that's the Lord, the God that we serve. When I talk about living in an amphibious world, living in the water, the Lord's Prayer showed us what I said in heaven, what I've, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:19, he says, when you bind something on earth, let it be as it is in heaven. Whatever you release on earth, it's released in heaven. I've given you the keys. That's prayer. For me personally, walking through life struggles and guarding my heart is a few basic prayers that I've written on my DB board in my kitchen so that I can remind myself each day of how to fight. Out in what place? Where at the table am I? The first words I've written there is bring heaven home. In my house, in my family, in my workplace. That is what I want to do. And the way I do it is I repent and ask forgiveness for any partnering that I've done with fear, lies, anxiety, depression, anything that comes against me. And I ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to me. I repent of that. Agreements with it. I break the lies and I send those lies back to the throne room of God. I don't want them anymore. It's been dealt with. It can be lies of not being good enough. Being too young. That's my lies. That were my lies. Disqualifying myself for living the life I need to live. Then I consecrate my whole house. I bring everything under in my house, everyone in my house, my family, my daughter, my wife, my kids, my father-in-law living with us. I bring that under authority of Jesus Christ. Even my technology in my house, my cell phones, my TV, my internet, everything under his authority. He's covering over that. Nothing enters in that's not from him. then I cover my walls with the blood of Jesus Christ. All my possessions, my finance, my vehicles, everything that's in my possession belongs to Him. I bind every attack that I feel at that moment. I bind it in the name of Jesus, and I send it to the throne room of God. I pray for the protection of my house, my family, everybody connected to me, friends, family, relatives. The protection of my family, my possessions, finances, everything that is seen and unseen. I cover in protection over that. That is what Psalm 91 is referring to as well. And He sends His angels to carry out that protection. They are living servants for those who believe in Christ. Then when the day gets rough, they're saying, "Oh, this day is just too much. I cannot go on." I pray, "Lord, bring Your living water over every situation now. Your breath of life, giving life in this situation now." Then the lovely part is the recovering of our Eden. Like I've said, where the weeds have been torn out, the garden flourishing. God, in Genesis 3:8, God came in the garden in the cool of the day to come and visit Adam and Eve. And He wants to do that with us as well. He wants to journey with us in our lives as we go on. The last part of Psalm 91, I've listened to this morning. He says, "If you abide in Me, if you call on My name, I will come and I will have a party with you." That's a Message translation, calling it that. He wants to have a feast with us. He came, when Jesus was resurrected out of the grave, He went to His disciples and He had dinner with them or lunch with them at the river. He nourished them in a physical way, but that came out of a spiritual nourishment. God really wants to nourish our souls. John 15, verse 4 to 5. "Dwell in Me, and I will dwell in you. Live in Me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in Me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in Me and I in them bears much abundant fruit." So that's where I want to be. That's where I want to journey. That's where, with all the distractions, the agreements that I've made, washed out, with all that out of the way, I can enter into a journey with God. I can know Him personally. Each day. I've done this a few times. When we go on holiday, I would say, "Jesus, I need a break. Where do I go? And will you be there? You are going to be there. What do you want in that break time? What do you want from Me? What do I need to do? What do I need to teach children? Where's the nourishment going to be in that time?" And it's been a blessing each time I've done that. I've come back a weekend, and it felt like 3 weeks of rest. That's the promise that He has. John 17. It's a long one, I'm sorry. John 17, 19 to 23. This is a prayer that Jesus prayed before he ascended, before the crucifixion, and before all that, he prayed this prayer over us, over his disciples, but that's translated over everyone following him. I'm not there now, sorry. John 17, I'm at 19, sorry guys. But that's not what I want to say. John 17, verse 19. And so for their sake, and their behalf, and on their behalf, I sincerely dedicate and consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified, dedicated, consecrated, made holy in the truth. Neither for those alone do I pray it. It is not for their sake only that I make these requests, but also for all those who will ever come to believe, trust, cling to, rely on me through their words and teaching, so that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. I have given to them the glory and the honor which you have given me, that they may be one as we are one, in them and you in me, and in order that they may become one and be perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me and that you have loved them as you have loved me. That is referring to what I've said. Jesus wants to come and live with us, in us, through us. The flourishing of the garden, the nourishment of the food is not for our own living. If you walk through a garden where there's abundance, if you walk in a farm, you're going to drive to KwaZulu-Natal, you see the sugar reeds there. I'm cutting one off. I'm tasting it. That is the nourishment. It's not for the farmer itself. It's for everyone. So the fruits of my spirit, the fruits of me living and wandering in that water well is gonna flourish and gonna nourish those around me. It cannot do anything else. I want to leave you on a high note. Wonder how I... Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. For I always pray, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight to mysteries and secrets in the deep, and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your hearts flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, is once set apart. And so that you can know and understand what is immeasurable and unlimited and surprising greatness of his power and for us who believe, and demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength which he has exalted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and sanctified him as his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age, but in this world, but only in the ages and the world which we are to come. And he has put all these things under his feet, and he's appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church. I'm at 23 now, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all, for in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete and who fills everything and everyone. Thank you, and that's my note. Thank you.
Marius has brought a special word this morning, and you've really done it with all of your heart and with all of your soul. I just want to quickly read something. I got a WhatsApp. Peter, he's in the back there. Yeah, there he is. He WhatsApped me last night to say he feels this might be a message just to confirm today's message. And it came from Revelation 3, and it says, "These are the true words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one shall shut, who shuts and no one shall open." And it's just a word, I just don't have the full, I'm going to send you the message in its entirety, but also just the confirmation that God really wants to open the door in our lives. And he's opening it, and if he opens it, no one can shut it. And just to tap back onto Ephesians 1, it's his immeasurable love that is opened up to us. And that's the word that Marius brought. My great-grandmother used to live in a block of flats here, and I used to go visit her every time. And whenever I left, she said, "Daniel, I love you." And I used to walk all the way down the passage, and when I turned, she said, and it's his immeasurable love. You cannot measure it. And so we want to just invite the prayer team. I know we've had a lot of ministry in the service already today, but there's just a heart going out. If you want to receive his immeasurable love and walk into that open door, if you want to be a nut butter, then and that picture is so beautiful. It's so good. What I mean by that is, if you want to live in his presence, if you want to be in the world but not of it, filled with his presence. That was Jesus' prayer in John 17. Filled and walking in his abundance. If you want to know that you're living in his abundance, then please come forward after the service. The prayer team is ready to pray streams of living water over you. And we want to bless you. Can we give Marius just a massive thank you? Thank you for your gift this morning. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.